on to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Kreitz. It is a Wednesday, September 15th. Joined with Mayor Don Scott on Fort McMurray Matters, and we're just kind of recapping council and what went down last night. One of the things that I saw on the agenda, Mayor Don Scott, was the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and the calls to action. Do you want to update everyone on what was all approved last night?
Yeah, we approved several steps to be taken, and the report responding to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's calls to action, principles for a collaborative pathway forward in Wood Buffalo, be accepted as information. So that's basically all the information we got last night. We had several delegates. What we really heard last night is that the direction our municipality is going is the right direction. The second point was that the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples be endorsed as the municipality's framework for reconciliation, and the administration bring forward a policy in 2022 for council's consideration. Once again, our council has really taken a very progressive approach to truth and reconciliation, and I can say that the Indigenous people I've spoken to in this region have embraced it, and they have said it is the right direction. We heard that time and again last night by those who were delegates in the community and in the region, and we're definitely hitting the right steps. There's a lot more work to be done, obviously, and it's something that's very timely. The third one is that the calls to action, including child welfare calls to action, language and culture and commemoration, and business and reconciliation be adopted by council, and that administration provide an annual update on the status of the municipal response to truth and reconciliation in Wood Buffalo, and that administration be directed to include funding in the annual budgeting process to support a meaningful commemoration on the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation each year on September 30th. So on the whole, these steps in combination show our council's commitment to truth and reconciliation. And what we heard from the people of our region last night who were supportive of the step we were taking is that not only are we taking the right steps, that these five steps that the council adopted are the right approach going forward. And we'll see where the new council takes us, where the new mayor and council takes us, but I am optimistic that they are going to continue this good work, and I hope that many of the people running in the election were listening last night, and I hope that they got a clear signal from those that are currently on council as to a direction that makes good sense for our region.
Now, I know you're not running again, but like hypothetically moving forward, what does the future look like in a perfect world, kind of with all the calls to action?
Oh, we're going to see a lot more work done. We're going to see, we're very deeply committed to truth and reconciliation. We have a very strong relationship with Indigenous leaders and residents. And we have an Indigenous Relations Department in our region that was set up by our current CAO, Jamie Doyle, who I praised last night. It was restored is the best way I could describe it. And that's the good work of Jamie Doyle. And he set up an incredible leadership team there, and that team is amazing. They are doing good work throughout the region, making sure that council's connected, and certainly that I've been connected. I've had the opportunity before COVID, certainly, and post-COVID it's been more challenging, but to meet with Indigenous leadership in the region and continually find out about what the issues are going forward. Because I think the job of government isn't to tell anyone what the issues are. We need to listen and then determine what the issues are and then take action based on what we're hearing. So we're going to keep on listening, and I hope the next council will keep on listening. And one thing that I think that we're going to be doing going forward, the next council, I hope, is they're going to learn what the real history of our region is. We obviously had a residential school in our region. A lot of people still don't realize that, and they're kind of shocked when they learn all the things that happen to residential schools. But it's a reality. We need to understand the reality. That's part of truth, and then reconciliation is the second part. And we have September 30th coming up here, which is the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, another opportunity for people to really acknowledge the history of not only our region and Alberta, but Canada. And, you know, there's a lot to address, obviously. And it's not going to be a quick process, but we want it to be meaningful.
Joined with Mayor Don Scott, recapping council from last night. We're going to take our first break, but we're going to be right back talking more about flood mitigation, Ptarmigan Court buyout, and a couple other things on the agenda.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
And we're back with Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. Happy Wednesday. It is September 15th. I'm Sean Kreitz, joined with Mayor Don Scott, talking everything that happened at council last evening. Now, Mayor Don Scott, I saw that flood mitigation was on the agenda. Do you have an update on those discussions? Anything happen?
Yeah, we did get an update last night. So I think as the people, your listeners, would be well aware, the work is ongoing. And when the work is complete, this region will have flood protection like it's never had. So we've had 17 floods in 185 years in this region. And this is a council that took action and said, we are going to protect this region. And we're going to be protected to what's called a 1 in 200 level. So that means this region should be protected such that only one flood in every 200 years would impact us. And that's a very high level of protection in not only in Alberta, but in Canada. And this is an approach that I've pushed very hard, and I believe it's the right thing to do. When we look at the cost of the flood to not only insurance companies but to residents, in addition to the mental health challenges and the health challenges, it was $1.3 billion. So this is an investment that makes perfect sense. We're spending $257 million through to 2023, and we're on target. And next year, in 2022, we're going to be having temporary measures, but we can look forward to the day when we are going to have this finalized, and this is the council that started that. So it's one of the legacies of this council, one of the ones that I mentioned last night that this council can be proud of, is having dealt with this issue that really, in my mind, has been a long time coming, obviously.
Wow. And then quickly, say for someone like myself, I just moved here 3 months ago. Just a quick update on what is being done with the flood mitigation. Obviously, I've heard about the flood that happened, but what is all happening right there?
Yeah, there's essentially a berm program that's being put in place around the community in all the key areas. There were maps that were put up last night. If anybody's interested, there was quite a presentation given last night. And there's a lot of information that we have on our website that people can take a look at. But the areas that were impacted, and I just want everyone to remember that until we have the final measures in place, we have temporary measures in place. So next year there's going to be the temporary measures. We are going to be well protected. And I'm very confident that administration is taking critical steps that are important to protect our downtown. And it's as I said, a long time coming, but we are going to be in good shape going forward, certainly once the final work is done. And I hope the next council adopts this same approach. You know, we can't put our downtown at risk. We can't put our other parts of our community at risk the way it has been in the past. So continue this work. It's expensive work, but it's an investment in our region, and it's an investment that's well worth it. If you look at the cost of a flood, and if you just look at the mental health impact of that last flood and the displacement and the business impact, let alone the infrastructure and property, this needs to be done. This must be done, this work.
And then was there an update on the Ptarmigan Court bio as well last night?
Yeah, that work has been ongoing as well. So there's been discussions with the provincial government. They are essentially assisting us with the property buyouts in that area. It's a voluntary buyout. Nobody's being forced there. And just to remind everybody, the program that was in place was called the Disaster Relief Program. And they are, the provincial government is giving us money, and 52 of 69 properties have chosen to take it. So there's some that have chosen not to take it. They are remaining. And we're going to just move forward with those who want to adopt that approach. And, you know, they're proceeding. The reason that we're doing that, just to remind all the listeners, is Ptarmigan Court can't be protected. When we looked at the amount of money it would take to protect Ptarmigan Court, it was incredibly expensive to do it. And it made way more sense to do a buyout, and the provincial government has assisted with that approach.
Once again, joined with Mayor Don Scott, just recapping council from last evening. I'm Sean Kreitz with Fort McMurray Matters, going to be taking our second break. But when we come back, Mayor Don Scott's still going to be with us here, and we're just going to be talking the sexy stuff, the financial state of the municipality. What are the numbers looking like? And then a big shout out to Councillor Marr as well on Fort McMurray Matters.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Sean Kreitz with Fort McMurray Matters. It's a Wednesday, September 15th. Today on the episode, we have Mayor Don Scott. Now, we've already touched on a lot of very serious, important things that went down in council, like the Truth and Reconciliation calls to action, the flood mitigation. But it was also a councillor's last council. Councillor Marr, you guys do anything special?
Yeah, right at the beginning of the meeting, we had a real acknowledgement for Councillor Marr. We gave him a key to the city, and that was on behalf of Mayor and Council. The approach we've taken this council term is that the key to the cities, key to the region, has been given out always by the mayor historically, and I think the mayor has probably unilaterally chosen the people to receive it, I'm guessing. But this term, what we've done is the whole council has really participated in that. I've invited that process. So what we did is we chose Councillor Marr, and we kept it a secret from him for quite a long time, as you can imagine, because we wanted to surprise him at the last meeting. So we had the key to the city, and we had it there in the council chamber, the brand new council chamber, and we were trying to hide it from him because he was kind of walking around and almost stumbled across it a few times. The other thing we had for him was a walking stick with a buffalo head at the top that was locally carved. It was amazing. It's incredibly beautiful. There's going to be pictures of it, I hope, circulating online that people can see.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks tremendous. So we paused the meeting, and we gave him both the key to the city and the walking stick, and he was shocked. And you know, it's a real acknowledgement for 26 years on council. He's been here for the entire history of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo. That's when we became this entity that current council is part of. He's an educator. He's been part of the public school board. He's been a big advocate for the Birchwood Trails, as anyone who listens to council meetings knows. And he's been a big fan of youth sports. Sports in general, I got to say. He's always talking about hockey. But youth sports in particular. And he has had an incredible impact on public service. Every councillor there last night gave him kudos for having a lasting impact on them in some way. And he's an amazing guy. And we certainly acknowledge that. It was his last meeting. And he acknowledged that he's not running again. He's going to be, he'll be long remembered for the good work that he's done in this region.
Wow, shout out to Councillor Marr then. I can't wait to see pictures of that walking stick. It sounds incredible.
It is amazing.
Now it's time to get to the sexy part of the interview, Mayor Don Scott. Crunch those numbers. What's the financial state of the municipality?
You know, we're in an incredibly good financial condition. A lot of people come up to me and they hear somewhere that the municipality is in financial difficulty, And when I tell them the reality, they're shocked. I tell them that we're probably in the best financial shape of any municipality in North America. We have no debt. We have no deficits. And we have money in the bank. And we're tracking this term to have an $11.2 million surplus. We have the lowest tax rates in Alberta. And last couple of years, we gave a huge tax cut, the biggest one in the history of the municipality. And when I remind people of, you know, how strong our financial position is, they're shocked, because people don't really realize that they're living in a municipality with such a great financial situation. But we are in excellent financial shape, and if anyone tells you otherwise, please set them straight. But I will say going forward that the way the municipality spends going forward is shifting, because the last council, what they did is they made an agreement with industry that we would, and the provincial government, that we would change the way we spend money. It's called the 5-to-1 ratio. That's fancy language. It just means that we're changing the way that we tax throughout the region. So what I would say going forward, and to all those who are running in the election, the days of big spending are gone. That will not happen, in my view, and nor should it happen. People are going to need to focus on the essentials, like getting water and sewer and completed, finishing flood protection. Like, those are essentials in my view. But the days of building giant buildings, I don't think are going to be realistic going forward. And just to give you a sense of how much we've cut taxes by, we've cut them by $300 million since 2017. So that's the work of this council. So I give a huge kudos to our CAO, Jamie Doyle, and all the councillors who served this term. On the fiscal side of things, we are in amazing shape, and it's something that people should be shouting from the rooftops.
And then, like, what kind of position does the future council get put in with such a good situation? Like you were saying, like, focus on the essentials. Like, do they have the option to kind of just, like, have the freedom to be open to ideas, kind of thing? Or,
oh, they can be open to ideas, but they've just got to keep that 5-to-1 ratio in mind. There's no doubt that our spending historically was out of hand in this region. And the reason I say that is when they reached an agreement, so the provincial government brought in a rule that every municipality in Alberta should reach the 5-to-1 ratio. Now, we were given time because our ratio was the worst in Alberta. And this was many years ago. This is like 5 or 6 years ago. We were around 18-to-1. So with the work of this council, we brought it down to approximately 7-to-1, a little bit more than 7, but approximately 7-to-1. So we have brought our spending down to a reasonable level, and that's a combination of spending and taxation. So, you know, councils aren't restricted in anything they want to think about, and obviously we did a lot of the work in the first 4 years that could have been done over 10. But it's you know, it's a great community, and there's great opportunities. And we should still invest in our communities. We just need to do it right. And I'm sure the new council is going to consider everything that comes before it. I think the work that we have done, I believe a lot of it will be carried on, because of a lot of it, I think, is right for the region. But they're going to need to make their own decisions, and they're not going to... Hopefully they're going to make independent decisions, not necessarily just do what other councils have done in the past. So we'll see where it all goes. But I'm confident that with the large number of people running, we should have a good diversity of views on council. And hopefully, the community will elect people that really believe in the community and steer it in the right direction. So I'm feeling confident about it.
Wonderful. I like those encouraging words. Anything else we didn't touch on that happened at council that you'd like to get out there, Mayor Don Scott?
No, I just spent a few minutes thanking everybody, because that's going to be my last meeting as well. I'm not running again. It's been an incredible honor And I just thank the residents so much for electing me. I was so grateful. One thing I did at the end is I emphasized the importance of voting in the next municipal election. I think a lot of people don't realize how few people vote in this region. We had, in the last election, just to remind people, 22.4% of the population voted.
Wow.
That was a little over 13,000 people, and that we can do way better. And it's been fairly consistent or worse in the past. So it's not really risen a lot beyond that in the past. So I think we can do a lot better in this region. Please, if this is your home, and many of those who are listening, I know it is your home, please get out and vote in the municipal election. We have a lot of people who are putting their names forward. Democracy works when people put their names forward and when people vote. So please do get out and vote and support the residents who take the time to fill out all the paperwork and put their name forward, who believe in this community and are running. We should all get out and vote. So please make an educated vote. I would encourage everyone to look at platforms, see what people stand for, see whether it's something you agree with. It's important if you're going to vote to do so wisely. And, the people that are running, they would love to talk to residents who are interested in voting. So just reach out to those who are running. Their names should be all over the place. You're going to start seeing signs popping up on the 20th, and it'll be about approximately a month of people really campaigning hard, I hope. So you should see them at around town and maybe even at your door. So there you go. There's an opportunity for you to really engage those who are running.
Hey, well, congratulations on everything in council here as Mayor Don Scott. And thank you so much for joining me today on Fort McMurray Matters.
Thanks a lot for having me, and you take care.
That's all the time we have for today. If you didn't catch the full interview, or if you want to listen to it again, you can always go on over to our website. It will be posted very shortly there and catch all the previous episodes, this one and more. My name's Sean Kreitz with Fort McMurray Matters. Have a great Wednesday, and we will talk to you later.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.